Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Is there a Democratic and Republican way to balance the New York State budget? Most of the noise in the governor's race is about the noises the candidates are making, like Carl Paladino apologizing for insulting gays by calling all homosexuality dysfunctional. Add to that his apology to blacks and women for forwarding racist and sexist emails. But let's avert our eyes from the Sin and Redemption Tour for a few minutes and continue our election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days, with perhaps the biggest central question in the race as it affects most New Yorkers. Issue 16, true or false, there's a Democratic and Republican way to balance the New York State budget.
When society is in a crisis, it is the Democratic Party that steps up and rises to the challenge. And today, my friends, New York State is in crisis, and it's time this Democratic Party stood up and made this state the Empire State once again.
By now, I think you're seeing the difference between me and my competitors. One wants to clean up Albany with a whisk broom. The other, he might even use a mop. Me, I'll clean out Albany with a baseball bat.
So we'll compare the Cuomo and Paladino positions and put the current crisis in historical perspective as multi-billion-dollar deficits persist into the future as far as the eye can see. We have three guests for this. John Faso, who was the Republican nominee for governor against Eliot Spitzer in 2006. He was also an assemblyman from an area south of Albany. Author and former Newsday reporter Rob Polner, and Seymour Lachman, a former Democratic member of the state Senate from Brooklyn and Staten Island. Lachman and Polner are co-authors of a new book called The Man Who Saved New York, Hugh Carey and the Great Fiscal Crisis of 1975. Thanks to all of you for coming on today. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much for having us, Brian.
Rob Polner, how does this fiscal crisis compare to the one in the 70s, and what made Hugh Carey a great governor for that crisis?
Well, in some ways, the current fiscal crisis is more intractable than the imminent fiscal collapse of New York City was. And there was a huge crisis back in 1975 in the midst of recession. And as a result of that crisis atmosphere, in part, Hugh Carey was able to rally Republicans and Democrats, and also upstate, downstate, and all levels of government, labor, and business as well, under the banner of saving New York City from bankruptcy and catching the rest of the state and its localities in what would have been a calamitous downdraft if the city defaulted. And he was heroic, I think, and Seymour and I wrote this in our book, The Man Who Saved New York, in doing just that. Carey brought a sensibility with him. He was a pragmatic liberal Democrat, but he represented a conservative district when he was a congressman. And he brought a deep aversion to bankruptcy. He spoke to both sides of the aisle memorably when he first, in his first State of the State speech in 1975, before anybody knew anything about these crises. He said that the days of wine and roses are over. He said that this New York had been on the front of the upward roller coaster in the Kennedy Johnson years and was now at the lead car going down. Shocked a lot of people, and there was a lot of efforts to quash his proposals for tax increases and deep cuts.
And as you write, and this will have such echoes of today to so many people, he dashed cold water on the habit of 18% annual spending increases, which I guess were the norm at that time. And he said the state had good intentions and worthy social goals, but was now deep into a national recession with massive job losses and stratospheric inflation. Well, we don't have the inflation, but the rest is familiar. And he said, yet the government had been acting as if still flush with the federal assistance and industry of the Kennedy-Johnson years.
And certainly that that resonates with the situation today. And he was fair-minded, Kerry. He was tough, strong-willed. He had an excellent staff. He hired people based on merits and not on patronage. And he didn't... he was an experienced politician, of course, and an experienced campaigner, and he didn't investigate or steamroll people. He worked with them, and he worked across the aisles. He dealt with, he respected the legislative clout of the leadership and the minority leaders, and he people really believed Hugh Carey. He was a man who had led a very substantial life in business, in the military, in law, in politics. And the public, I think, believed him. He had a great deal of political credibility when he spoke about the crisis facing the city, which, by the way, a lot of city leaders and state leaders at the time wanted to minimize or wish away.
Right. So John Faso, as a former member of the Assembly and then somebody who was the Republican nominee for controller against Alan Hevesy, yeah, this is some distinction you have, actually. For controller, you lost to Alan Hevesy, and then you lost to Elliot Spitzer, and I wonder how many people walk around and say, if only, in either of those cases. But, you know, in 1975, they got control of spending beyond the state's means. When you were in the legislature, the Senate was controlled by Republicans, the Assembly by Democrats. The governor has either been Cuomo or Pataki or Spitzer. Did you see a Democratic and Republican way to make the state budget during your years in office that helped get us back into the debt crisis that we're in?
Well, unfortunately, and Brian, thank you, and thank you to your guests and your listeners today. It's a pleasure to be with you. You know, I don't know if there's – I haven't thought about this too much as to whether there's a Democrat or Republican way to balance the budget, but I think there is, frankly, only one way to go forward, and that is to recognize the situation that the state is in. People are literally fleeing the state in droves. We've lost over a million people in the last decade. The private sector, it costs too much to create jobs and sustain jobs in the state because of energy costs, property taxes, workers' compensation costs. The business costs to start a business, whether large or small, are too high. Our tax burden is substantially above the national average. The property taxes alone are 70% above the national average. Your listeners who live in New York City may not appreciate this, but this is an absolutely confiscatory burden. The Albany Times Union, in fact, just did a story this weekend of a middle-class family who retired. The father worked for GE, retired. He's in his early 60s. They paid about 10 grand a year in property taxes in the Albany area for a better house, more house, less expensive. They pay $2,000 and have equivalent or better services in Oregon. So government costs too much. And the public sector in New York State costs way too much. So there is a way to balance the budget, and what it requires is us to reform the pension system in New York State, to reform the Medicaid rules in New York, and also to eliminate a whole panoply of rules and regulations and statutes which basically rig the system in favor of public employee unions.
And I think both of the major candidates are saying that as far as that goes. But Seymour Lachman, same question. From when you were in the state Senate, I believe from 1996 until mid-2000s, is that right?
Yeah, five terms.
So the Senate was controlled by Republicans. The Assembly was controlled by by Democrats.
Exactly. Joe Bruno was the majority leader at the time.
Pataki was the governor when you were in the Senate.
And David Pattison was the Democratic leader in the Senate.
And did you see a Democratic and Republican way? What I'm asking is, did each have particular excesses that helped bring the state back into the debt crisis that we're in after Carey and company helped dig us out in the 1970s?
Well, I think they both had excesses in different ways. But there's a major difference between the governors of the, you mentioned Pataki and Spitzer and Pattison, and the governor who Hugh Carey was, as Rob Polner and I tried to describe in The Man Who Saved New York, Hugh Carey, and the fiscal crisis of 75. The major difference that I see between the three governors over the last 10 years and and Governor Hugh Carey was that he exemplified the motto and that Harry Truman had. It was on his desk. It said, "The buck stops here." He was a man who did not blame his predecessors, Democrats or Republicans. Remember, the Vice President of the United States had to be involved in this. He was governor until a year before Carey came in. Malcolm Wilson, his handpicked candidate, was governor for a year. Carey was not told anything about any of this until after his election. In fact, just before his inauguration in January of 1975. But he did not blame any of his predecessors. He said, "The buck stops here. However this crisis arose is not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about resolving the crisis, not as a Democrat or as a Republican, but as someone who can bring together a vast and broad constituency of working people and union leaders and business people and bankers and Democrats and Republicans." And this man, who only had 4% recognition against Howard Samuels, who he defeated in the primary when he began running for governor, developed a personality and character mm-hmm. traits and an ability to impress the voters and the people of New York State, and so that when he said he would do something, he got the support of this broad constituency right. for the common good.
So this brings us back to today, and is there a Democratic and Republican way to get the budget under control right now? You talk about how he got along with everybody, brought everybody into the necessary coalition to get serious about the problems.
And they respected him. They trusted him, regardless of party affiliation.
Here's a little bit of what Palladino and Cuomo have said recently.
"I'll cut taxes by 10% in the first 6 months of my administration. I'll cut spending by 20% and cut the size of our government by 20%.
They're going to have to find economies of scale. You have 1,000 state agencies. You can't tell me you need all 1,000 agencies, that you can't find a way to find efficiencies. You have 10,000 local governments in the state of New York. 10,000. Towns, villages, lighting districts, water districts, special districts, a district to count the other districts. You have too many governments in the state."
And let me read a little bit what's been written about each of their positions on how and what to cut. For example, the Cuomo website says, "Government refused to say no to any powerful special interest group and used financial gimmicks to hide problems or kick them down the road." I know you all agree with that. The first page of Cuomo's site on the topic, "Get Our Fiscal House in Order," says, "Immediately impose a cap on state spending. Freeze salaries of state public employees as part of a one-year emergency financial plan. Commit to no increase in personal or corporate income taxes or sales taxes and impose a local property tax cap." He says, "We must also eliminate mandates that make it impossible for school districts and localities to contain costs." So that's what's written specifically on the Cuomo site. For Palladino, I'm going to read a summary of his positions with respect to this on Wikipedia. This says, "Palladino plans to use interpretations of the Constitution of the State of New York to declare a fiscal state of emergency, which he will then use to freeze compensation of state, municipal, and school employees and cut the state budget by 10 to 20%. He seeks to cut the state's Medicaid budget by nearly 30%, or $20 billion, by making significant cuts to benefits, reducing reimbursement rates, requiring identification, fingerprints, and drug testing in order to receive benefits, and training family members to take care of people who would otherwise be in long-term care." And I'll add that he's got a commercial running that refers to getting rid of gold-plated Medicaid benefits. In the event of a late budget, Palladino says he would shut down most levels of government except those related to public health and safety, He said that on this show. Palladino would first target patronage jobs for elimination, i.e. those who receive their jobs as political favors and through family connections. Deputy commissioners would be another target for elimination. He would also rely on the state's rank and file to target persons incapable for whatever reason of performing their functions at a cost-productive level. And he hopes to eliminate 60,000 jobs from the state workforce through these reductions. And he would seek to eliminate numerous perks, such as state-owned take-home vehicles. So, John Faso, let me turn to you as the last Republican gubernatorial hopeful. Are Palladino and Cuomo saying essentially the same thing?
Well, they're saying somewhat different things. I think that the devil is always in the details. I think that Cuomo's rhetoric is interesting, but it doesn't offer any specifics. And some of Palladino's specifics are either or would be very hard to effectuate, even if you decided they were wise. Give you an idea in terms of what has to be done, in my view. We need to take all new state and local government workers and put them in either defined contribution plans like 401ks or some variant of the existing pension system with 401ks. That doesn't save you money in year one, but it saves you money over the next 20 years. And as you saw a report that E.J. McMahon's Empire Center, the Manhattan Institute, just put out today, it's on the front page of the New York Times.
Yes.
We have $200 billion of unfunded retiree health care obligations in New York State. We have to reduce pension and out-year health care costs for government workers. The second thing we have to do when Cuomo talks about mandates for school districts, he utters this word, but he doesn't offer specifics. Every single one of these mandates that you get at has to gore the ox of public employee unions. The money in state government and in local government is in three places. It's like Willie Sutton. Why did he rob banks? Because that's where the money was. In state and local government in New York State, it's employee benefit and salary costs and pension costs. It's in K-12 education, and a lot of what we spend in K-12, over $18,000 per child on average in the state, is wasted and spent inefficiently, and it's in Medicaid.
So when Rob and Seymour talk about Hugh Carey and how he pulled off the trick in the 1970s, partly by getting everybody on board, we don't seem to live in that era right now. You know, Spitzer came in saying he was going to...
Hang on. You're raising a very important point.
Go ahead, Seymour.
We don't live in that era right now because you can't go to Albany with baseball bats and knock out everyone and destroy everything, what is good and what is bad. I mean, Elliot Spitzer, whom I know very well, tried to do that in a different way. He was like a bull in a china shop. Carey's skill.
He put it differently.
What?
I was just saying he put it differently.
That's true.
The blanking steamroller. Go ahead.
Right. But at the same time, I mean, Carey's skills can be emulated by someone like Andrew Cuomo. In fact, in a Labor Day op-ed piece in the New York Daily News, Andrew Cuomo espoused the principles of Hugh Carey. That was the man and the roadmap that Hugh Carey brought out in New York City to alleviate and prevent bankruptcy is what he said he would do.
Well, John Faso, let me go back to you and ask you, in light of what you just said about what all those problems are, if you think that kind of collegial approach or getting everybody on board can work today, or if somebody needs, whether it's a steamroller or a baseball bat or a bull in a china shop or something in between to somehow affect change that the local governments and the state legislature will resist with every ounce of strength.
Well, I think that Seymour is and our other guests are absolutely right. Hugh Carey was a great governor. He was perhaps the last great governor of the state. But the state is a markedly different place than it was in the early and mid-70s. We don't have the business community here. We don't have the Fortune 500 companies. We don't have the kind of population density and the employment opportunities that existed all around the state. Upstate is literally a shell of what it used to be. A lot of people downstate wonder why there's this anger coming out of the Palladino campaign, and otherwise it's because upstate New York for 30 years has become an economic wasteland, in large part driven by policies that come from Albany and also from, frankly, New York City politicians that go to Albany that impose their kind of view of the world on the entire state. It simply, it doesn't work. While I think the Kerry approach could work today, candidly, I have grave doubts whether either of these two people mm-hmm. running for governor have either the temperament, personality, or skill to replicate what Hugh Kerry did back in the 70s.
I agree with most of what my friend John Faso said, and we both served in the state legislature about the same time. But one has to admit that the difficulties and the problems that existed then are major today as well. And we're all angry and frustrated, and we're very upset. But one of the candidates does not give a plan, a coherent plan, to where everyone sacrifices somewhat, well, gives up somewhat for the common good.
I think
Andrew Cuomo
does.
Has the probability is he will try to do that.
But Rob Polner, we're almost out of time, and I want to get your take as a journalist for Newsday for a long time. Now you're in academia, but you've written this book on state government with Seymour Lackman. And I don't know, from the things that I was able to find in print, Palladino gets a lot more specific than Andrew Cuomo does. However, I wonder, looking at a lot of the things in the list that I read, if some of them are illegal, go, you know, against the constitution of the state, would be struck down in court, not to mention the temperament question. But here we have a candidate who's putting out a lot of specifics, many of which may not be tenable, and another one who's not putting out many specifics.
Yeah, I don't think it's legal to threaten someone with a baseball bat. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but...
Right, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a state of emergency unilateral...
The Palladino phenomenon has been, in a way, unfortunate in that it takes away all the attention from the front runner here and enables him, if, not that that's necessarily his desire, but it enables him and distracts the press from really getting specific about how to address, you know, what is can't be nibbled at around the edges.
Cuomo get specific?
15 years ago, you had $1.3 billion in pension and health benefits paid by the state, and for 2013, the projection is $6.2 billion, and that's just a huge drop. Meanwhile, you may have the loss of $5 billion in the stimulus money that was provided by the federal government. And by the way, the federal role here is so important. It needs to be discussed. What level of support does the federal government, which has, for example, a $700 billion Pentagon budget, going to provide to the states during this very protracted recession or recovery, whatever you call it? That basically means is a recession, is particularly upstate, as it was back in 75.
In that
op-ed that Seymour Lackman mentioned that Andrew Cuomo wrote on Labor Day, he signaled not only a willingness to ask for sacrifices from labor, but to work with the legislature in a more amicable and cordial way. And I think that's something Kerry did.
Which is absolutely essential. Demanding, but also working with them in a collegial manner.
And John Faso is somebody who just said that you're not sure either candidate has the temperament. You were the last Republican nominee for governor. Are you endorsing in this race?
I haven't made an endorsement, but I certainly won't be voting for Andrew Cuomo. But I do think that there's a very big difference between the political environment today and what we had in the mid-70s. And the problem with what Cuomo was saying, he may have uttered these platitudes in a op-ed in the Daily News on Labor Day, but he has yet to give real, tangible specifics. The one question you did ask on Paladino about the state of emergency, I proposed this a year ago, but it would require a state of emergency that had a legislative authorization in order to freeze salaries and contract benefits to public employees around the state. Just this year, even though the state had a multi-billion dollar deficit and we had to cut school aid, they cut school aid, the public school employees throughout New York State received over $1 billion of raises. There are automatic raises that we're paying right in the face of multi-billion dollar, multi-year deficits, and they simply can't be afforded. And what Andrew Cuomo as the front runner lacks is the specificity to tell people before the election what the tough medicine he would administer after the election. I think that's my problem with what he's saying, and candidly, I have a lot of problems with what Paladino is saying.
And that's where we have to leave it on the question, true or false. There is a Democratic and Republican way to balance the New York State budget. In 2010, we thank John Faso, who was the Republican nominee for governor against Eliot Spitzer in 2006, the Republican nominee for controller against Alan Hevesy in 2002, and a former member of the State Assembly, author and former Newsday reporter Rob Polner, and Seymour Lachman, former Democratic member of the State Senate from Brooklyn and Staten Island. Lachman and Polner are co-authors of a new book called The Man Who Saved New York, Hugh Carey and the Great Fiscal Crisis of 1975. Thanks so much to all three of you. Good conversation.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, law blogger Jamie Floyd on Don't Ask, Don't Tell being struck down in court. Why will Obama probably appeal that ruling? Stay tuned.